I don't know about you, but I appreciate the Lord this morning. I don't know if you detected it or not, but I felt a little touch this morning. I know He's always with us. He said He'd never leave us or never forsake us. But sometimes He just steps out of the shadows a little bit and reveals Himself. Helps us to remember His promise that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Why don't you take your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 32 this morning. I've been preaching in Psalms for a couple of weeks. That's one of those places where it's hard to get out of. But Psalms chapter 32 this morning, I want to try, and I know some of you, listen, I'm not apologizing for it, but I know some of you are a little shocked and a little taken back when folks start hollering out loud. Getting a little bit too happy for church. I'm going to try to explain that this morning. I really am. That's what I'm going to preach on this morning. Why are they so happy? Why we clap our hands as they sing, "I'm no stranger to grace"? What makes us want to say, "Woo!" and, you know, have a good time? Amen. Something's wrong when you can't have fun at church. I didn't say when you can't play in church. I said when you can't have fun in church. We ain't here to play, but we are here to have a good time. Amen. We rejoice around these songs they sing. Amen. Why? Because they mean something to us. In some way, shape, or form, we can relate. Psalms 32, let me read some scripture. I realized I did that the other week. I told you to turn. Some of you forgot what I was preaching now, and I never did read the Bible. I just took off preaching, amen. But I read it, so that's good enough, amen. I knew what I was talking about, whether you did or not. Psalms 32, I want you to look at this first verse, and we're going to preach through this chapter a little bit. But the Bible said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is," say that next word with me, "forgiven." "Forgiven, whose sin is," say the next word, "covered." "Covered." I like that. I don't know about you, but I think we could take a break right there and just shout a little while, maybe run a lap or two around the building. He said in verse number 2, "Blessed." Now, let me just stop right there. When we came out of Psalms chapter number 1 the other night, where it said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Remember what I told you about that word, blessed? If you're holding another version of the Bible other than the King James Bible, your Bible don't say blessed. Your Bible says happy. That's wrong. That's wrong. I don't want to rehash last Sunday night, but happy comes and goes. I'm not always happy, but I am always blessed. Blessed is happiness, but on a higher level. Not only on a higher level, but on a deeper level. In other words, circumstances may come to mess up my happy, but deep down inside, there is a deep, settled peace because of the grace of God. Amen. Just thought I'd clear that up this morning. He said in verse 2, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." I think I'm just going to stop right there, and we'll look at some other verses in a moment. Verse number 1, he said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." The reason we shout, and the reason we clap, and the reason we're jubilant in this place when they sing songs like that is because we have been forgiven. Let me say it again. The reason we shout, the reason we rejoice is because we have been forgiven. I stood up this morning and said 8 people were saved in Sunday school. If you noticed, everybody applauded and we had a good time. Why? Because we know what just happened to them happened to us back, good God Almighty, happened to us back some time ago. We know the joy, we know the peace of God that they're experiencing, and we rejoice in that. Amen. When the church don't get happy over sinners being saved, they need to shut the door or just start an aerobics club or something. Amen. Because it just don't get no better than that. Forgiveness. How many of you knows what it means to be forgiven? Hallelujah. How many of you men, be honest, ever had a real hot fight with your wife? I ain't talking about a disagreement. I'm talking about a fight. Can I get a witness? One of them where she don't speak for several days. They ain't a pot nor pan left in the kitchen. Ain't got a dent in it. The cabinet doors is barely still on the hinges because they've been slammed so hard. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And finally, you suck up and swallow your pride. And sometimes you don't even know what for. But you bow in her presence and say, honey, I'm sorry. Are you listening? That tension, that tightness, that scaredness. She gonna stab me in my sleep. I know. And finally, when she looks over and touches you and it don't hurt, no. And you feel the sense that the anger is gone, and those tears start running down her face, and she said, I'm sorry too. Woo! Ain't that better? I hate to fight, but I sure do love to make up. Amen. That's what forgiveness is. How many of you know what it means to be forgiven? Thank God. But the only thing with them women, they might bring it up again. 6 months down the road, they may remind you of how you hurt their feelings. Amen. Good thing with God's, He never will. Woo! Every now and then the old devil comes around and he tries to remind me about my past. But when he does, I just remind him about his future. Amen. Yeah. Thanks be unto God. God has never held it over our head one single time. We rejoice and we're happy this morning simply because we are forgiven. We're better than nobody else. But we have been forgiven. I'm a sinner just like the sorriest offender in the prison system this morning. But I have been forgiven. My hands and my heart has been as dirty as his. But I have been cleansed. That doesn't make me better. It just makes me happy. Amen. Because my sins have been forgiven. Let me point you out a couple of things this morning. We'll go to House or Waffle House. That'd be the house to go to. Amen. Only 5-star restaurant in this town. Hate going up north. They ain't got them. Now you need to understand this. Only God can forgive sins. Just a couple of statements this morning. We're out here. Only God can forgive sins. You understand that? Only God can truly forgive sins. And then, secondly, only humans can receive forgiveness. Isn't that something? We never read about one, not one of those angels that left their first estate, them fallen angels. Never read about one of them going back and getting right. But I can point you to countless thousands and millions of humans who have come to God and found grace and mercy. Amen? So we need to understand this morning that if we have sins, and you do, that only God can forgive them. There's no religion that can take care of your sin. You understand that?
Amen.
There's no denomination that can take care of your sin. There's no, listen, I'm not making fun or being ugly, but there's no priest except the high priest, and that's Christ Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
That can take care of your sin. Let me talk about this thing of sin and forgiveness. It is our sinfulness that necessitates forgiveness. Can I say that again? It's our sinfulness that makes forgiveness necessary. If I never did anything wrong, I would never have to say, honey, I'm sorry. If I never did anything wrong, if I never committed one sin, He said, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Now we need to understand, and this is quite simple this morning, but we're all sinners. Turn around and look at your neighbor this morning and say, you a sinner. Amen. That's exactly right. Don't take offense in that. We are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, brother, that's from the greatest Christian who's ever lived all the way down to the lowliest convict. I'm telling you, we are all sinners. Self-righteous people make me want to vomit. Got their nose stuck in the air looking down on folks. Something wrong with you. If you sat there in that pew this morning and thought you was that much better than one of these little old black bus kids that walked up on this stage, something's wrong with you. You may be righteous in your own mind, but the Bible said all your righteousness is filthy rags. Somebody help me preach this morning. Amen. It's our wickedness that makes forgiveness necessary. When that relationship is broken, you know what sin does? It puts a boundary, a separation in our relationship with God. When I offend or hurt or do my wife wrong or break a promise to her and she gets quite angry or hurt with me, our relationship, oh, we're still married. Are you listening to me? She's still my wife. But the fun part's missing. When that relationship's broken, they ain't no kissy-kissy. Are you listening? I'd much rather kiss than fight. Y'all all right? If you'd rather fight with your wife than kiss her, you're an idiot, man. I like sugar myself. But the fun of the relationship is gone. Why? Because there's a transgression somewhere. The same in our relationship with Christ. When the transgression is gone, or the transgression is committed, the sin, we become miserable. Why? Because the fun of the relationship is gone. Now all we're doing is carrying around a guilt of the relationship. Am I making any sense this morning? Our sin makes forgiveness necessary. You say, what is sin? He said transgression. You know what that means? Doing what is forbidden. Yep. You ever done anything God said you ought not to do?
Amen.
I ain't never met a living soul that ain't never broke at least one of the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
Somebody said, well, preacher, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Yeah, the grace is tougher than the law.
Yep.
Under the law, adultery was punishable by death. But Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Under the law, it was the act. Under grace, it was the thought. Lift up your heads, boys. It ain't time to pray. Amen. I mean, brother, every one of us has did what God said don't. Every one of us has done something that we knew in our heart. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. When I did not know a verse of this Bible, there were things that I knew in my heart I wasn't supposed to do. Just because somebody ain't got a Bible and don't know no scripture and wasn't raised in a Christian home, they still know rape's a sin. They still know sodomy's a sin. Doing what is forbidden. Sin, not doing what is commanded. It's not just don't. But there's some do's in there also. Amen. I'm as guilty of doing what I'm not supposed to do as I am of not doing what I'm supposed to do. So what does that do about forgiveness? It makes it necessary for that relationship to be right. I've got to come to God with the transgression and with the sin and say, here it is, God, I've done this and this and this and this. And God says, okay, covered one more time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
Wow. There is a sinfulness that makes forgiveness necessary. But then forgiveness is what leads to this blessedness.
Yes. Yes.
This extra happy. And that's what that blessed means. Extra happy. That means happy with some happy put on top of that. Amen?
Yeah.
That means a deep down happy that can't nobody knock off your face with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because it's not happiness based on circumstance.
That's right.
Or possession. It's happiness built and based on a relationship.
Yes.
When we were younger, when I was younger, Sister Angie's always been young. When we were early in our marriage, I had a whole bunch of buddies. Brother Robert, Brother Tim. I had a whole bunch of buddies. And I stayed in the woods, man. I stayed in the woods. I was either on a deer stand or shooting ducks or turkeys or chasing a coon dog through the woods in the middle of the night. I mean, man, something wrong with you. You won't spend more time with Robert Upton than you do Angie White. Something wrong. Amen. But it's gotten to where over these last few years, I don't go off with nobody hardly anymore. Not that I don't love you. I love you, Robert. I do. But there's just something about being with her. You know what that is? That's that relationship. And that relationship makes me happy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about going to the mall.
Yeah.
You know you in love, boys, when you enjoy going to the mall.
Yeah.
Holding her hand while she looks at bath towels. You got it bad, amen?
Yeah.
It's the company you enjoy.
Yeah.
That forgiveness leads to blessedness.
Yeah.
Let me explain to you why Miss Regina got to hooping and hollering like a Banshee Indian this morning. Let me explain to you why Brother Tommy got to shouting and carrying on this morning. Because they're wicked, no good, dirty, filthy, rotten sinners who ought to be in hell, but they realize that their sins are gone, they've been forgiven, and they're happy about it. Can I get a witness right there?
Amen.
You say, I just don't ever feel like shouting. Maybe you need to get some forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Forgiven. You know what that means? Carried away. Carried away. When I get on this altar, or I get down by my bed, or wherever it may be, and I say, God, forgive me. He said, I'm not just going to forgive you. I'm going to take it away. Amen. You remember, how many of you remember when you got saved?
Yes.
And if you don't, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that just here in a minute. But you remember when you got saved? I have heard this testimony more than any other testimony when somebody asked, how did it feel to know that you were saved? And they said it was like somebody crunk a Mack truck and drove it off my chest.
Yeah.
It was just a lightness. I felt like I'd literally float. And I'm not talking about nothing spooky this morning. I'm just talking about what it means to have your sins carried away. All the guilt, all the shame, all the sorrowfulness. God just picks up off our soul and takes that away. And now all of a sudden we're free. And we can wave our hands. And we can say hallelujah and glory to God and whoopee and hot dog and anything else that goes right there. Why? Because all that weight's been lifted. How many of you know what it means to feel guilty? Some people just don't have a conscience. But boy, I've got one. I got two, I think. I do something real bad to her. Man, I can't sleep. I can't. It eats me alive. My mama tell you. I go off do, when I was a teenager, I'd go off do stuff. I'd wind up telling her about it. I would. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't. What was it? Guilt. Guilt. I couldn't just cheat you and do you wrong going about my business. I can't do it. Why? Guilt. You ever heard the old saying, confession is good for the soul? Thank God that's gone. Yes. Forgiven means to be carried away. Covered, he said. Yeah. You know what that means? Put out of sight. I like that, don't you? How many of you have had your sins put out of sight? Yes. Hallelujah, man. Hey, this old world may remember what you were. This old world may remember some stuff you did. But God said he put it out of his sight. Yes. He didn't just clean you. He covered you. Yes. The Bible said he buried my sin in the sea of forgetfulness. Put him as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Hit him behind his back.
Yes, sir.
You know what God said? I don't even want to see him no more.
Amen.
What sins are you talking about?
Amen.
I don't remember them anymore. The old devil, the accuser of the brethren, goes before God and said, God, Charles Dyer is this, and Charles Dyer is that, and Greg Nix is this, and he's of that, and Freddie Young's having bad thoughts, and this and that, and goes on and on and on, and God looks and he says, I don't see nothing but a big red blur. Looks like the blood of my own darling son. Hey, maybe the sin is there, but the blood has it covered. Somebody will just have fun right there.
Amen, bro.
Let me ask you this. How many of you know how wicked you are?
Yeah.
Amanda O'Kelly, raise your hand. How many of you know how? Sheila, get your both hands up. We know. We know. We know. You ever look at your old mug in the mirror and say, you sorry rascal, you don't even deserve to live. But thanks be unto God, if we've been saved, there's a God in heaven who says, I don't see a thing.
Yeah.
Woo! He sees me as worthy.
Amen.
And not as I am. Sister Janice sang that song, said, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Thank God my sins are not only taken away or carried away, but they're put out of sight. Hallelujah! That's why God never brings them up anymore, because he don't see them. That's why we shout. He goes on talking about God not imputing sin to us or transgression. Iniquity, I believe, is what he said. You know what that means? Put to one's account. Put to one's account. I don't know about you, but I ain't the best checkbook keeper in the world. By the way, I was late this morning because I was tearing the house apart trying to find my checkbook. Still ain't found it. So I preach to you about tithing and I ain't tithed. Amen. Got to find that checkbook. But if I get that account overdrawn, they impute something to my account. Can I get a witness? Non-sufficient funds fee.
Yeah,
I know y'all probably rich and got pockets full of money. Don't have to worry about that. But I get them fees every now and then. But God's working in the opposite. He said, I won't impute it to your account.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, I'm going to bring the balance up back where it ought to be.
Yeah.
Thank God I ain't going to charge you for your sin. I'm going to put my righteousness on your account. Because you have no righteousness. You have none. So I'm going to do a transfer. The devil said, that boy's wicked. He's wicked. God said, wait a minute. Now he's loaded. He's broke. He can't pay for his sin. He did a little transfer. Oh, he's got it now, brother. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Somebody say something. Woo! That's what we hollering about.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Levi called home from college once a week. Is mama there? That's bad news. He's out preaching and helping them with the teens this morning. That's bad news. When he calls and wants to talk to me, that's good news. But when he calls and talks to mama, it's bad news because he's broke. You know what he'd say? Mama, can you transfer me some money? For a while there, it was a weekly thing. Till he married Corin, she straightened him out. And we'd go in there, and you'd pull up those accounts on the computer screen. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
We ain't old-timey no more. Computer screen. And it shows all that. It'd list my account, which usually be the only one got any money in it. Have Angie's account under that. And Levi's account under that. And you click transfer. And you had to select from which account you wanted to pull the money from. Well, it's a no-brainer. You had to pull it from the one who had some in it. And add it to the one who had none in it. And that's what Jesus did with my sin as I knelt under Jabez's pine tree in his front yard. And I said, God, I'm a sinner and on my way to hell, but I can't afford to fix it. I can't do nothing about it. My account has a negative balance, God. I'm in trouble. And God said, let me select an account that has plenty. Hallelujah. Let me go to Jesus' account and I'm going to move His righteousness into your account. And you know what He said? Everything in his account.
Yeah.
Everything. All of it is now available.
Yeah. Come on.
Woo! To you.
Yeah.
When I first pull up my account, right up the top, you know what it says? Funds available. That means what you can write a check on.
Yeah.
Are you with me? I know I can't write a check for more than funds available. Or I'm going to get one of them non-sufficient fund fees. I'm going to get penalized for it. But I'm glad when I come to God with my sin and I get dirty and I get filthy and I need forgiveness, I can go to my account and I can pull it up right here in the book. I mean, boy, it's written down. And I can look it up, funds available. Endless. I can go to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Yes,
the account's full. Here's the problem. If the account's so full, what are we harboring?
Yes, sir.
Why do we allow the relationship to remain hindered?
Yeah.
Why are we missing out on the fun part of the relationship when the account is not overdrawn?
That's
right. Amen. We just need to tap into our resources. Our sin, I gotta quit. Our sin makes forgiveness necessary. And that forgiveness leads to that blessedness, that happiness I'm talking about, that joy.
Amen.
I wonder how many of you confess your sin every day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you're like me, more than once a day.
Amen.
Whew. Well, verse number 3. I'll give you this. I'm going to quit. I got to. I know y'all ready to go. Some of y'all already quit.
Yeah.
Verse number 3. The Bible said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old, though my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. Selah. In verse number 5, he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Amen.
Wow. That blessedness from knowing the forgiveness of sin produces prayerfulness in our life. Do you know what drives me to God? More than anything is my wickedness. And I've learned over the years that's the only place I can get it right. When I lose that peace in my heart that passes all understanding, I ain't never lost my salvation, but I've lost that peace. I know there's only one place to go to get it back.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know what it causes me to do? It causes me to pray.
Amen.
That's what the psalmist said. Don't ignore or evade the issue.
Amen.
And that's what most want to do. That's what I want to do. Just hope it'll go away.
Yes, sir.
Sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
Stuff it in a closet.
Amen.
The Bible said the eyes of the Lord in every place.
Amen.
Beholding the evil and the good. That means under the rug. That means in the closet. We ain't got nothing hid from God.
Amen.
My soul, ain't that scary?
Yes,
so what we do, don't hide the issue.
Amen.
Don't hide the issue. Tell God about it.
Yes, sir.
Look, you say, well, don't he already know? Yeah, but he wants to hear it from you.
Yes,
Adam, where art thou?
Yes.
When God came in the garden, did God know where Adam was?
Yes.
Yeah. God wanted Adam to know where he was. He said, I'm hiding God because we're naked.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Don't evade the issue. Don't run for your sin. Take it and run to God with it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Don't run from it. But verse number 5, he said, I acknowledge my sin. Do admit it.
Yes, sir.
Do admit it. Don't be so full of pride that you think you're perfect and holy. Listen, and I'm going to say this carefully. When you get to the point to where you sit and judge the actions or the lives of other people, you're reaching a point to where you think you're better than you really are. Can I say that again? When you look around this church and you go, well, so-and-so just ain't dressed right and this ain't right, you're reaching the point to where you think you're better than you really are. When we see people mess up drastically in their lives, bad mistakes, and we run our mouths about it, we have reached a point to where we actually think we're above that. Boy, it got quiet. Maybe because we're guilty. That's the flesh in you. That's not the spirit. When we see people make bad mistakes in their life that damage their homes and damage their families and damage their children, we ought to get on our face and cry, oh God, help me. If King David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery and murder, who do you think you are? Well, I would never do that. Oh, really? I don't ever want to do that.
Yes,
but I'm not above it.
Amen.
Adultery, murder, lying, I ain't above none of it.
Amen.
It's only the grace of God that'll keep me from it and you from it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't run from the sin, but do admit it. Do admit it. I told you to look at your neighbor a while ago and say, you're a sinner. Now why don't you just speak to yourself in your heart and say, I'm a sinner.
Amen.
Maybe somebody just needs to get on the altar this morning and acknowledge.
Yes.
We acknowledge our sin, and then David asks in verse number 5 for forgiveness for that sin. Did you know God will forgive you if you ask Him?
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Look, let me look at the last part of verse number 5. Now watch this. He said, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Not only did he admit his sin, acknowledge it. Not only did he ask God to forgive it, but he believed it.
Now, there's a problem with a lot of us. We get on the altar and we ask forgiveness, but we still feel guilty for it when we leave. Sometimes we got to work on getting past our past. When we get on our face and we're sincere and we ask God to forgive us our sin, we can be happy and rejoice. Why? Because He promised He would. We don't got to leave hoping we've been forgiven. We don't got to leave thinking maybe we've been forgiven. We don't got to leave thinking, well, maybe if I never do that again, I'm forgiven. No, when we ask God to cover our sin in His blood, it's covered.
Yes.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ain't no ifs in there.
Yeah.
Whosoever. That's why I just don't fit in. Oh, you do too. If you didn't fit in with God's people, He wouldn't have made you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Forgiven. Thank God I have been forgiven.
Amen.
Is Janice back there somewhere? There she's hiding. Could you sing that? When He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. Reckon you could pull that off this morning? I figured so. Come on, Brother Todd, if you would. Let's stand our feet all over the house. Listen to me just a minute carefully before they sing. I wonder how many of us have sat in a service like the beginning of our service was today, and truly in our heart, wished we could feel what others around us felt. Whatever it was that made them hoop and holler and clap their hands and shout, we wish we felt like it. You wish you were that happy. Oh, you can be when you leave here today. Mr. Preacher, you don't know my circumstance. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You don't know what we're going through. Doesn't matter. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All we've got to do is come and ask God to forgive us. I tell you this, and I'm done. We're going to have the altar call. I grew up in church all my life. I remember sitting in the back row with my buddies at White Oak Springs Baptist Church and literally laughing and making fun when people got happy and shouted a little bit. I thought they was crazy. I said, them folks out of their mind. But I'll never forget the very first response that night in Jay Bice's front yard when I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins. The next thing out of my mouth was a shout. Why? Because it felt so good just to get it settled. I want you to leave here with happiness. Joy unspeakable. The Bible said full of glory. I want you to leave here with that today. But we may have to come and ask forgiveness. For everything to be all right with our Father, we may have to come and ask Him to forgive us. Remember what the prodigal son did? He said, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned against God and against You. And the father rejoiced, didn't he? Kissed him. They had a celebration. They had a party over it. God wants to party with you this morning, if I could use that term. He wants to celebrate with you this morning. What? Over your sins being gone. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning, nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's one here today that said, Preacher, my sins have never been forgiven. If I died right this very moment, I for certain that heaven would be my home. Please pray for me that I'd get this settled. I won't come to you or embarrass you. I promise you. I just want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Preacher, I know I'm a sinner. God bless you, sir. I know I need to get this thing settled with God in my heart. Anybody else, just slip up your hand, put it right back down. What about this? Preacher, I know I'm saved. If I die right now, there's no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind, heaven would be my home. But boy, the relationship with Jesus ain't as fun as it used to be. I'm afraid I've allowed things to come between him and me. Preacher, pray I'd get that under the blood, get it forgiven, and get my joy and happiness back. How about it? Anybody like that? Hands all over the building. Thank you so much. You pray with us, Father, as we come before you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And Lord, we are happy about it. Lord, we don't deserve it. We understand that. Lord, hell's what we deserve. But God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for these that have come here today. You saw the hands and you know the hearts. And God, I pray you'd meet the need of every individual in this altar call. Father, please have your way. Don't let anybody, like Brother Greg prayed earlier, don't let anybody leave here without knowing you as their Savior. 8 young people have already been saved here today. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you for letting those little girls come in here and get them Bibles this morning. Lord, we're going to miss them. Father, I pray you'd take care of them wherever they may go. God, don't ever leave them, please. God, you be there. Lord, let there be a church. Let there be a bus worker, a Sunday school teacher, somebody who will love them. Teach them the Word of God. Lord, we love you and thank you. Have your way in this altar call. We'll give you the glory for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.